Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa, and we're talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today, we are so happy to have Lee Vance here to talk with us about her new farm-to-table dining restaurant in Manzanita, and it's going to be opening up soon. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So we usually start our session here with you telling us a little bit about yourself. How did you end up on the North Coast?
I moved to Portland in 2007 for culinary school from Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that the Pacific Northwest was the food mecca, and traveled around a lot, but on a coast trip with some friends, we were going down 101 from Seaside, and kind of, I was like, no, we have to stop, we have to pull over, I need to look at this overlook, and it's that last one right before Manzanita.
Oh, God, that's
so beautiful.
Pretty.
It is, and I got out, and I just was struck with how beautiful it was, and I kept thinking, this is amazing, people get to live here, and didn't think about it again for 3 years until I returned to Portland, and it was about 2 months before I was on the coast, living
wow.
on a farm.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is such an amazing
And so
spot.
You grew up in Kansas.
Yes.
Wow. In a farm town or?
No. My mom does live on a farm, but I didn't grow up in the farm at all, actually. But we cooked a lot.
Yeah.
So what brought you to cooking professionally? What made you want to go to culinary school?
I'd worked in restaurants for 7 years, mostly waiting tables. I got to work for some really great chefs, Debbie Gold and Michael Smith.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch Top Chef Masters, mm-hmm. she's been on there a couple times. And she actually, in this suburb of Kansas City, was doing a seasonal menu with local products. And it was really inspiring. So I started kind of moving that direction. I got to work with Ken Baker at Pachamama's. He was doing something similar. And I moved to Lawrence, Kansas for college. And mm-hmm. it's a great little community. And they have an amazing farmer's market.
Oh, nice. So, and then you moved to Portland and you were cooking in Portland too, right?
Yeah, I moved to Portland in 2007. And I went to Oregon Culinary, Oregon Culinary Institute, and worked in the kitchen at Vault Martini. I was the kitchen manager there. Worked at Deschutes Brewery and the Pearl, and then Urban Farmer at the Nines Hotel. But then I kind of moved around a little bit. I went to Nashville and Oklahoma City, helped mm-hmm. open some restaurants there.
Neat.
And then came back to the Oregon coast.
I did. I had to. It's so beautiful here.
It pulled you. So did you? So tell us. You were right before we started recording. You were telling us a little bit about maybe how you got started in Manzanita, cooking you at the Manzanita Farmers Market.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I went to the first market when I lived. First moved to Nehalem, and I just kept thinking, there's all these really great purveyors here. Why not take what's coming out of the ground and being raised and make that every Friday night at a farmer's market booth? Really keep that local mm-hmm. so people could see what they can do at home with what's growing and what they buy at the farmer's market. So dinner happened because that was whatever I could source for that Friday night.
And that's such really a great fun. Little market. What, it's 5 to 8 in the evening, and so people do often stop there for dinner.
Exactly,
and the produce coming out of that area is so beautiful.
It really is.
There's some great farms down there.
And then you ended up at the Nehalem River Inn, right?
Yeah, I was actually waiting tables there and mm-hmm. kind of talking with Nicole and Ryan. They were planning on leaving, and they needed somebody to take over the property. And I had a lot of experience in both the front of house and the back of house. So we kind of kept that conversation going. And as the farmer's market booth got a following, we decided as they left that I would jump in and put my concept in their space. And it was a really great jumping off point.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get to eat there, and it was wonderful. And what was so much fun was everything on the menu, we knew the farmers that it had come from. And so that was, you know, it is really special. It is very exciting,
well,
actually.
Well, I love the connection. That's what really drives me. It's not about me it's about the food and it's about our community. And I think we're so lucky mm-hmm. that we all know each other, and we, you know, then we can share that with the people that come to enjoy the beauty that we have around us too.
Yeah, it's really well. So let's talk about your latest venture and where you're moving and where you've moved, actually.
Yes,
right?
Yes. We are not open at the Nehalem River Inn. We'll be right on Lineta in Manzanita. So 503 Lineta Avenue. It's a brand new building. It's beautiful. We'll have huge windows, and I got to design most of the interior.
Wow. So
I'm really, really lucky.
That's fantastic.
I've been so lucky, yeah.
And so what's the plan for opening? Where, when, how?
Because Kristen's hungry. She wants dinner right now.
We'll be open in February. We're still on schedule for February. And it'll be different than what we had at the Nehalem River Inn, just because I wanted to have a larger menu. I uh-huh. wanted to have a broader range in prices. Uh-huh. We'll have a bar focusing on craft cocktails.
Oh, fun.
And using some local spirits. Uh-huh. And I just want the atmosphere to be really fun.
Yeah. Is it so when you expand your menu, is one of the challenges not being able to source enough local produce? I know that's a big challenge that there's a conversation that's happening right now about more and more restaurants wanting to source locally, but there just aren't enough farms producing enough on the coast.
Well, it's true because we get things in a rotation
mm-hmm.
Where in Portland you can have five different purveyors providing mm-hmm. you kale. So
right.
somebody has it in rotation at some point in time and you can keep that on the menu. It's been a really difficult conversation because where I have three meat producers
uh-huh.
mm-hmm. And it takes a long time sometimes for them to be able to get their animals in. Vegetables, you know, sometimes crops don't work out.
Yeah.
Right. So the menu does have to change pretty
yeah.
often.
Yeah.
And that can be challenging for sure, especially keeping with consistency. And I'm looking at keeping our menu a little bit the same, maybe making the rotation of crops kind of correlate with specials more.
Yeah.
Kale, something that we have yeah. almost all the time.
You can pretty much do it year round here.
Yeah. So that's been a staple for sure, as well
yeah.
as chard. So I'm trying to pick out those things that I can nearly count on and then kind of work around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hours, we were talking about this. I really love what you're thinking about in terms of that.
Yeah, I'm hoping to, by summertime, so 4th of July to Labor Day, be open for lunch as well. So we would do 11 to 10 every day. We'll have a happy hour. I'm hoping to do some service industry nights as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some wine dinners, guest chef dinners, that kind of thing.
That sounds great. That sounds like a lot of fun. And that's such a great community for something like that, especially in the summertime.
Yes.
I'm always amazed. Our farm used to do the Manzanita Farmers Market years ago, and I was blown away by how many people come to that town on a Friday night.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's tiny, and yet it's just packed with people.
It is. It's amazing. It's got an amazing energy. And those really nice summer nights, I loved doing the booth. It
mm-hmm.
was so much fun. And it's kind of awesome because my farmers market booth sat the first time I did it, it sits right where my kitchen is.
Oh, really?
In this new restaurant.
Oh my gosh!
So, really?
That's great.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
I know.
Well, and it'll be wonderful because a lot of those people then will. I'm sure they're all going to be so excited to see that mm-hmm. you're right there downtown.
Yeah.
How do you feel your customers respond to the kind of seasonal menu? I mean, I think that's something that's challenging too when you're trying to put local food on the menu. Sometimes people don't understand. Maybe there's a favorite meal that they have, a favorite mm-hmm. dish, and you don't have it available the next time they come, and there's frustration about that.
I don't think anyone got that chance with me because it changed so much. There was no
favorite dish.
Yeah. Well, the bone marrow has yeah. been really, really popular. And that's been on the menu the whole time.
Okay.
But, and maybe towards the end there, we had some things that were staples. Most of the time, as long as people know that there's going to be a rotation.
Right.
They just know, as long as it's good.
Yeah.
They trust you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of it, is getting them to trust you.
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about, you're doing this crowdfunding campaign, and I know it takes a lot to open a restaurant. So let's just talk about that a little. Where are you at with that?
Well, we have a couple days left on our Kickstarter, and we likely won't reach our goal, which you know, that happens, and that's okay. We unfortunately set the goal a little out of reach, and we're moving on to an Indiegogo campaign that I don't yet have a link for, but on our website you can follow the progress there and watch the video that we did, even just as a informational tool, just to kind of get a picture of what we're doing and of the farms also. And that's at dinnerinmanzanita.com.
Which I have to say is a beautiful site.
Oh, thank you.
I went to it. It's really, I did not see the video yet, but
really,
yeah, I will go back and take a look. What's on the video?
It's a lot of footage of the farms and talking about why local food is important, why we're doing what we're doing, and also asking for help in what we need out of this crowdfunding campaign. It is very different on the coast, starting a business, and especially with local food.
Right. Absolutely, yeah.
Then you kind of go towards those non-traditional ways of funding.
Absolutely.
And we're all very community-focused. So.
Yeah, I know. And it's important, too, to get the community engaged in something like that.
Definitely.
I feel like a lot of times you hear people talk about how important it is to have local food, and they really want that to happen. But sometimes people don't understand that there's so much more effort.
It takes a lot of work, and it can be expensive on our end. And I think that's really hard to, it's really hard to convey gracefully.
why this is more expensive.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
I know. I've had that conversation both with farmers and with chefs.
Right.
Talking about the frustrations for restaurants. A lot of times you could go to, you know, just a mainstream food purveyor and get, you know, a much cheaper food.
It's true.
But if you want to buy it from local farms, it's going to cost more because it costs more for the local farms to produce.
Right.
And yet people want to see it on your menu.
Uh-huh. Yes. And we have one. You know, we have one season on the coast.
Right.
So
it's a long season, but it's...
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Well, and hoop houses are helping, and and people are really developing that taste for kale, so I'm so excited.
You know, there
about
are
that.
Other leafy greens. I know it's a sacrilege to say, but there are other leafy greens besides kale.
Oh. Well, I happen to know that Lee puts together a massage kale salad that she might even share the recipe with us later.
Yeah, I'm always a sucker for massaged kale.
Yeah, I know. It's always so good. Well, we're going to take a little station break. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Lee Vance of the new farm-to-table restaurant in Manzanita, opening up in February. And it's the former Nehalem River Inn that is morphing into dinner.
And but it's not at the Nehalem River.
No, it's not. It's
in
downtown Manzanita.
Don't mislead people.
And I just give people your website again, because I think that's probably the best place for them to look for you.
Definitely. It's dinnerinmanzanita.com.
And they'll find you there.
Yes.
And they can find out the progress of what's going on. So you're doing a really cool crowdfunding to try and get your restaurant off the ground. I'm super excited that you're doing this. And
yeah,
it's really encouraging for me,
because
I feel like this whole local food movement, I mean, it's very dear to Kristen and I's heart, this whole trying to get local food up and off the ground. And it's a lot of the work we do with North Coast Food Web, and certainly with my farm as well. You know, and there's such this exciting, slowly growing movement of small farms and ranchers and consumers and customers and farmers markets emerging here, and I feel like this momentum just needs to keep going, and having restaurants like yours that are willing to like take that risk to put it on the menu and put it up front and invest in that and ask their customers to invest in it as well is really important. That gives small farmers so much more heart and hope, and like, oh, there's a place for me to sell my stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm hoping that people, when they experience the difference of the fresh local food, that they seek it out on their own as well, and they get inspired to cook at home and go to the farmers markets, and because I know, you know, maybe join a CSA that can it's a huge bulk of a lot of small farms.
Yeah.
Sustainability, just being able to have those subscriptions.
Well, really, since I'm trying to think now, we're just talking about this 2007, I think, is when Manzanita Farmers Market opened.
Yeah.
I mean, and we now are getting close to having a farmers market open every day of the week on the coast, which is amazing.
That is amazing.
Isn't
that
it?
Really is, in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
And the farms to support those
markets,
too. I mean, I think that's what's really cool, is to see people go to markets or become inspired to take maybe what's a small, you know, home garden or a large home garden and move that into a small farm, or to, you know, take property that's been in their family and maybe kickstart that into a farm again, or think about raising animals, doing eggs.
I've seen a lot of that. A lot of people returning home back from Portland or wherever,
it's exciting,
and taking over the family farm. And it's so amazing. I love having all these young people doing such, I mean, it's hard work too.
It is. It's so hard. And I think people are looking at it in a different way, in not the traditional, gee, I have to make XYZ amount a month. It's a lifestyle that they are embracing.
God, I hate that word,
I know you hate that word, but it's
a
true.
Way of life.
It's a way of life.
I know
all
that's
right.
a subtle difference, but it really is, because lifestyle implies something that's very frivolous to me, and way of life is something that's different. I mean, because
very grounded.
Yeah, it is. You know, I don't think anybody goes into farming expecting to get rich.
I mean, I would hope not.
You do, and you are quickly disabused of that. But it is something that you, I mean, you have a passion for. It's kind of, I mean, quite frankly, opening a restaurant. I can't imagine opening a restaurant. The thought of that just makes me break out in hives. I can't imagine you doing what you do. I'm so excited that you do what you do, and I love that you do what you do. I never want to do what you do.
Yeah.
But you're, why would you do that? You know?
And then 7 days a week, Lee.
Right. Right. My hope is that we figure out the cloning thing.
Yeah. You have to be passionate about it.
It's true.
As well.
But you have to be passionate about anything that you're doing well. I mean, if you're doing it with integrity and you're doing it well and quality is your focus, you're going to sacrifice, and you just have to be ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not ready to do that, then you're not in the right, you're not, you know, you have to have that vigor.
You do.
Otherwise, I don't know what you're doing.
I know.
So I know you brought a menu with you, and I know it's a draft, but can we talk a little about that?
What are you going to be cooking?
Yeah, let's whet a few appetites here.
My hope is that we'll be able to maintain a larger menu than what we had and a broader range of prices. I definitely, I want everybody to be able to come in and have fun. I have an open kitchen with a little chef's bar, so you can sit at the bar and hang out with me while I'm cooking, and that's really important to me, because I want to be fun and happy and
accessible,
be able to share.
Too.
Sure. Accessible, yeah. Absolutely. Well, the one thing that, of course, will never probably leave the menu besides the bone marrow would be the massaged kale salad.
Yay!
have we said kale enough?
I could probably say it a few more times.
Yeah, and then we might even talk about that recipe.
Actually, no, talk about the bone marrow, because you say bone marrow is on the menu. What, so how are you serving bone marrow?
It's the bone is split lengthwise, and it's roasted, really high heat. And then you spread it on toast with, we make house-made pickles, and we give you some mustard. It's like meat butter.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things.
It's exactly
ever.
What it is.
Meat
That is the perfect description.
It's so good for you.
Yeah.
Especially out here on the coast in a hot, like, just so cold and rainy, and it's good for your joints. It's just amazing.
And?
And massaged kale. So to explain to people, because not everyone understands, like, massaged kale sounds really weird.
It does. And, you know, well,
and the first time I did it, I remember thinking, this is a really weird thing to do.
Massaging with your kale.
But
it's so cool.
So it's a way of serving kale raw that kind of wilts it.
Exactly. But what you're doing is you're using the friction from your hands to break down the cell walls of the kale. So it gets a little brighter, like it's been steamed, and it gets a little sweeter. But if you're doing that with a really light lemony vinaigrette, you can replace some of that water in the cell walls with the dressing, so you get this more cohesive flavor.
So you massage it with the dressing on it?
I actually start with a little salt and pepper to season the greens first, and then a really light amount of dressing, and I just get in there and massage the leaves until they're really bright and springy. And then I toss it in with, you know, maybe some goat cheese or some Parmesan, roasted nuts. This menu that I'm hoping to open with will actually have local feta.
Feta?
Nice. Really?
Yeah.
Somebody making feta?
I love feta cheese. That is so exciting.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get it regularly.
Yeah?
And then,
where is it coming from?
Well, there's a Fraga Farms does it.
Sure.
And, and I know that they just changed over. So,
yep.
I've been so lucky. I have farmers that go to other farmers markets for me and bring me things. It's just the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
So the Farmer Pony Express.
Yes. I love it. And sometimes they bring me surprises. It's just really, really
cool. Isn't that great?
So cool. Yeah. Wow, local feta. That's exciting.
That is. Okay, so massage kale salads on the menu. What else?
I want to incorporate some more seafood because, you know, we are on the coast, but it is sometimes hard to source fresh seafood unless you're going directly to either Astoria or Garibaldi. And I actually drive every day to Garibaldi to get my fish. So I'm hoping to do a local ceviche, something really light.
Explain what ceviche is.
I
feel like my role here is to be like, I have no idea what ceviche is. I mean, I do know it.
No, it's great because you do lose sight when you're in a restaurant every day. Right. You don't remember what it's like to be a guest.
Yeah.
And what questions people might have.
And ceviche is awesome and people should order it. So.
Definitely. I would take like a local whitefish, something that came out of the water that day. And then you cure it in... citrus. You use lime juice, lemon juice. The acid in the in that will coagulate the protein like it's cooked.
Mm-hmm. So it's a raw fish salad, but
it's cooked.
Essentially cooked.
Yeah,
cooked by the citrus.
So something really light and fresh. I'm just going to toss it with some cilantro, some split pepper, maybe a little cucumber.
Sounds amazing. And we do have amazing fish down here.
We do.
And so do you have crab on the menu? Dungeness crab at all?
You know, I don't.
Maybe a special.
Crab specials for sure. I can't, it's actually been something that's very hard to source fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so crazy to me.
It is really hard to explain what happens.
Yeah.
I pick up my fish from somebody, Deepwater Dave. Uh-huh. I love his name.
That's great.
And what he sells to a I could go through the purveyor, but it would be the exact same thing, but I would get it 8 days out of the water. So I go and get it the day it comes out. So I've been really lucky. He sends me, he'll call me and say, hey, I got a halibut off a research boat. It came out of the water 2 hours ago. Do you want it?
Right.
So lucky.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And the way it should be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's so great. And what a great resource to have.
Yes. Hopefully we can all keep up.
I know. Well, but it's awesome that you can incorporate some seafood onto the menu because it's crazy to me that there is not more seafood.
Right.
Local seafood being served out here.
Right.
I think some of that's starting to change.
I think so.
You know,
I think so. I hope it continues to change because
we're seeing some community sponsored fish programs and
I read about that.
Yeah. So
that's so exciting.
It's happening. Yeah. All of this is happening. It's just we're impatient.
But it also needs people like you to be willing to step up and do that and maybe initiate some of those systems. Because that's part of the challenge is just making those connections. And
I think I'm really lucky to not have had that expectation of our tourist base experience. I kind of came in with really no idea about that. Mm-hmm. So because I didn't know that everyone would be beating my door down for crab every day and salmon.
Yeah.
It was a non-issue to change my menu every day.
Right.
So I want to say that it was more intentional than it was, but
that's okay. However it happened.
But
it is
a great example for people that do have that struggle, have people that come in every day and want that same thing. Mm-hmm. They could say, oh, well maybe I can change it up a little bit more because it's not breaking this place.
Right.
Hopefully.
Well, let's go on to dessert.
You go straight to dessert.
Right along.
Well, you know, I keep dessert pretty small, the dessert menu. I'm hoping to change that, but I'm kind of a one-trick pony in that way, and that's my dark chocolate pot au creme, which I feel like you may have had.
Yeah, I did have. It was delicious, and I think you're going to share a recipe with us.
It's true. Yes, I did bring that recipe.
Lovely.
It's a really good one for the holidays, and I serve it in a little mason jar, and you can actually this recipe would give you 15 or 20 little mason jars to give out to friends and family maybe after Christmas dinner. And
so, listeners, if you're hearing this, you might want to pull out your pens and find a piece of paper.
And it's actually so simple, it should be a crime. I mean, I guess I shouldn't set
an expectation. No, it's good.
It's delicious. It is.
And oftentimes people will love to hear about it, but you won't necessarily go to the effort to make it. So it's still great to come to your restaurant and eat
it. Right, exactly. Well, I guess if you survive the tempering of the egg yolks,
yeah,
then we're good.
Okay. Bring it on.
So when you get together your mise en place, so all of the ingredients together and measured, it's going to make things a lot easier because this is a pretty quick recipe. I'm going to start with a cup of sugar. I use an organic white sugar for this recipe. Mm-hmm. 2 cups of half and half.
Ooh.
3 cups of cream. 2 tablespoons of vanilla. And then 1 pound of dark chocolate. I use a 68% dark chocolate.
Wow.
And not all chocolates are made equal. So,
no, they really aren't.
Splurge a little because it will make a difference, especially in texture. And then 9 egg yolks and a little bit of salt. And so you can... Let's see. We're going to combine some steps here. So in a saucepan, you're going to combine the sugar, the milk, the cream, the half and half, the vanilla, and the salt. And you can set that on low and get that heating up. And while that's heating, in a large mixing bowl, you're going to whisk your yolks together. And you don't just need to mix them. You don't need to foam them. Nothing fancy. Just bring them together. You're going to bring the liquid mixture to a really soft boil. Just get it hot enough to melt the chocolate. And you're going to stir in your pound of chocolate. Whisk that together until it's smooth and glassy. It's really important that all of the chocolate melts and is really incorporated.
And so, Lee, the chocolate has been chopped up?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to take that off of the heat. I like to... use the whisk that I've whisked the chocolate mixture with to temper my egg yolks. So what that means is that you're going to very, very gradually add that hot chocolate mix to the yolks. So you don't want them to curdle. You don't want to coagulate any of the protein in there. You want it to come together
really gently.
Really gently.
Yeah. So just slowly. a little bit at a time.
Yes. Especially at first. And once you get that mix, you can add it a little faster, but you definitely want to be really careful. And keep whisking as you pour in the chocolate. Then you're just going to pour those into your jars. You can get those little 4-ounce
they're so
mason
sweet.
Jars.
Yes.
Or the 8-ounce if you want to give them,
a big taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and let those cool, not in the fridge. Cool mm-hmm. them at room temperature, and then put them in the fridge. But you don't want to put any lid on them until you're ready to serve them, just so that the condensation doesn't happen on the lid. Yeah.
And then I bet you could whip some cream and dock them with that. Yeah.
Salt
and
just stick caramel. A spoon in.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Stewed cherries.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Okay, well, okay. We're almost at the end of our show, and that is...
I'm really hungry now.
Oh, I can't wait.
Tell people again your website.
Oh, sure. It's dinnerinmanzanita.com.
Okay, it's Lee Vance. Look for her new restaurant. We're very excited. I can't wait. We'll have a hot date. We'll go down there.
Yeah, let's definitely do that. And Lee, do you want to give them a phone number? Do you have a phone number?
Sure. It's actually the same. So we've kept 503-368-7708.
Great.
Look forward to your new venture.
Thank you so much.
It sounds so exciting. Congratulations. Good luck with the opening.
Thank you.
I know that's a lot of work, but we're excited about it.
Thanks.
All right. So a big thank you to our engineer, Mark Albrecht, and Katie and Luke for our theme song.
And thank you, everyone, so much for joining us on today's Food Talk and fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast. Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
So excited. I'm going to check out that video on your website, and I'm going to look at your campaign and donate something.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I just want to let everybody know this show will also be available as a podcast at coastradio.org. So that means that you can go back and listen to that great recipe.
Slowly. And make it.
Thanks so much.
And then have me over for dessert.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you.